Welcome to Christian Guys Radio. Radio for, well, the Christian guy. Let's jump right in. Well, good morning again, everybody, and thanks for being here and being part of the show. We are excited to jump into our next topic, and this is one that, you know, I think there's a lot of discussion around this idea of our mouth and what we say and how we say it, and it really does have some practical implications. And I think as our society moves more and more liberal, more and more in this idea of freedom, I think the idea of our mouth and it mattering, it what we say matters, I think becomes an issue for us. Kind of the idea is, I saw one time a t-shirt, and in particular the person wearing it was a younger person, and the shirt said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And then I kind of underneath as a sub note, it said, "But I cuss a little." And I thought, you know, I grew up or I've grown up in what is called the holiness movement. The holiness movement being kind of a personal holiness, you know, no alcohol, no tobacco, no cussing, no language, foul language, those kinds of things. And regardless of what you believe on that, we're not necessarily trying to start that, but to give you some tools on finding ways to combat maybe some of those ideologies or those thoughts, depending on where you're at in your life. And so I thought I would jump us out. As always, we're joined by Caleb and David. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
We are want to jump into a couple of verses that I want to kind of use as our foundation, and then of course we can go off from there. So guys, if you have your Bible, you're listening, Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Colossians chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. And then once you find that one, stick your finger there and flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we will be in verses 3 and 4 there. So again, we're going to start off with Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And it says this is just out of the NIV. It says, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator." I don't know about you, but I think the idea of those, the fact that it puts filthy language in the same list as anger, rage, malice, and slander, I think is interesting.
Telling.
Yeah, it's very telling. I mean, you know, again, we need to go back to understand who we're talking about. We're talking about Paul writing to a church who is, you know, living out their days as they are. And the header, if your Bible has headers, the heading of that whole big section, verses 1 through about 17, says, living as those made alive in Christ. And so for us, the idea is that, you know, I think we get a misunderstanding of what being free in Christ really is. And this episode isn't intended to be,
a legalistic.
Yeah. Be free through legalism, or be free through the bondage of the law. But I think we have some misunderstandings of what true freedom in Christ really is. And so definitely an opportunity there. And then if we were to jump over to the Ephesians passage, chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so, again, here we have Paul, again, a letter to a different church. Same author, repeating himself and kind of emphasizing this idea of not having... not being obscene in our talk or foolish talk or coarse joking. And he to me, expounds this a little more in this passage, where he's kind of pulling it out and even breaking it down into its parts. You know, one of the topics we talked about, and maybe this is a better title for this, is to meme or not to meme. And, you know, I don't think you can flip through Facebook anymore without catching a meme here or there. And almost always it's got some kind of foul language in it. It's got some curse word or the subject matter is
off.
Well, what we would call obscene. I mean, you might not, those that are listening may be of an age that you go, well, that's not obscene, but just a generation before such as us.
And I think that's an important distinction to make in that regard, is it's not just the cussing, and it's topics that shouldn't be discussed either in public or at least in a demeaning fashion. You know, the whole lewd jokes, talking about things that really should be discussed within the bounds of a marital relationship, but yet we're making light of them and treating them as if there were nothing. I think all of that kind of gets encompassed in that concept of obscene talk.
Right. Absolutely.
It kind of goes with, you know, making things taboo. And if you don't have anything that's taboo, nothing's taboo.
Right. It diminishes the overall conversation. And that's one thing that, and this probably will come across as overly harsh. And if it does, you know, take it for what it is. Now, I see it sometimes as it makes me wonder if the person has a lack of vocabulary. They use, you know, the F word, the S word, the D word so often that it's like, I wonder if they just don't have another word to put there. So it can be as simple in my mind as you need to expand your vocabulary. There are other suitable words that don't have the same societal implications that we wouldn't consider foul that can be used in those same spots to the same effect without having to use that specific language.
I don't recall if it's biblical or not, but, you know, it's outpouring of the soul comes out of the mouth.
Out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth.
Yeah, and that is biblical.
Yes, and I forget where it is exactly, but and that's one of my points is, okay, if you're a Christian and you're professing to be in Christ and you say, but I cuss a little, okay, at some point that is a reflection of what's inside of you. So if you're perpetually making jokes about loose women or using foul language or, you know, demeaning people, that kind of thing, and anything that could be encompassed in that concept of obscene language, then that's coming from somewhere. And so maybe there needs to be some internal, you know, scrubbing of the mind and of the heart so that what's coming out isn't foul.
Yeah, absolutely. That passage is actually Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and is where that comes from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I agree with what David was saying is there's, what are you feeding your heart? What are you feeding your mind? What are you feeding your soul? Because when I was a youth pastor, we always used to call it garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you're constantly feeding yourself, profanity or coarse jokes or, and you're like, just relax. It's all in good fun. Well, that may be, but that's what you're feeding your heart. And at some point, that's what's going to come out. whether you slip and say something you're not supposed to in front of your folks because you think you've got it under control, or you think that, you know how to separate your professional life from your personal life. Because I can tell you right now, I mean, working, living in a professional environment, as I have several different times, you know, the salesman who cusses or has inappropriate jokes never gets the same level of
return
sales as the guy who knows how to speak well, who carries himself well, who knows how to speak professionally and use proper grammar, proper. And I'm not talking about the Victorian English stuff, but just, you know, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Yes, as opposed to yeah, uh-huh. No, as opposed to uh-uh.
The yes or no, ma'am.
Yes.
The proper, the polite,
yeah,
speak.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it seems like a small thing, but it goes a long way.
It does. Absolutely. Job interviews. You know, I find myself right now looking for employment, outside the church as a bivocational pastor and, you know, remembering yes, no, thank you. Yes, ma'am. No, no, ma'am. Yes or no, sir. Remembering those things and making sure that those are on the tip of my tongue as opposed to, okay.
Well, and it kind of going down that particular line of thought, you know, you turn in a resume, you know, if it's handwritten and your penmanship looks like a second grader, that's going to leave a certain impression. And there's a corollary to that in how we speak. If you're putting swear words in where they're not needed or they're out of context, and you know that to me is going to tell me something. Do you not have the discipline, even though you're in a formal environment and you're being interviewed and you're trying to make a good impression, and even at that, you still don't have the discipline to not use that language or to go to those topics, then as a potential employer, that tells me something.
Right. Well, and I mean, think back with me, if you will, to a movie you watched recently where, you know, I mean, I think all of us have different filters, different levels of filters as to what movies we'll allow ourselves to watch. I have friends who were never allowed to watch anything more than a PG, you know, and they and their parents literally took the PG to heart. Their parents had to be in the room while they watched a PG movie, PG meaning parental guidance suggested. When they were alone, they could only watch G-rated movies. And, you know, now a regular movie can be R-rated. There was a Christian movie made a couple of years ago that got a PG-13 rating because of quote unquote violence. Well, it was a police officer shooting at some car thieves, and apparently that set the rating system, because there was gunfire in it. And so, you know, here you have and the movie was fantastic. I mean, it very well regarded movie, but all that to be said, you know, think of a movie that you've watched recently where you're enjoying it, and they just throw swear words in for absolutely no reason. You're like, that was completely unnecessary.
In context, you know, there are certain words that can be used within certain contexts. You know, it's like if you've ever flipped through the TV channels and you're on one of the, like the Animal Planet channel, and it's a dog show.
Right.
And they're talking about the female side of the dog species. They're going to use the term bitch. Not because they're trying to make a point, but because that is the proper term for that.
Correct. And we've turned it into
something else.
A swear word.
And to me, it's sad because
a derogatory term.
Yeah. And to me, it's sad because kind of along the lines of that t-shirt you were mentioning, I've seen bumper stickers that, you know, and it's usually a female driver and says, yeah, I'm a B word. It's like, you're demeaning yourself to that level.
Right.
It's like, shouldn't you want to be treated with more respect than that? You know, and so even self-applying those labels, it's like, why are you lowering? It's not just that other people are lowering you, but you're lowering yourself to that point.
Right. And I'd kind of go on with what David's saying about a lot of people that use these type of words rather frequently. You could kind of get an idea of their level of education that, no. Or, you know, they don't treat communication with any respect. So they just feel like they have to say these words constantly to try to describe everything. And at the same time, you know,
well, I think they use it to command attention. You know, they're using that language to show, hey, look at me.
Yeah, I'm a tough guy, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's sad, you know.
These would be the same people, like, they're, you know, the rich and famous, you know,
right.
Musicians and movie stars and even, unfortunately, now politicians, you know, speak right. with such coarse language. And it's like, wait, we have these people in our control of our country?
Well, and kind of going back to scripture, there's a scripture in it that says, you know, that we will be held accountable for every idle word.
Right.
You know, it's like, why do you want to add that to the list? Especially when it's unnecessary. Be precise. You know, you don't need to add that kind of French to your repertoire. You know, I don't know what the word count is. The English language has, what, hundreds of thousands of words.
Yeah.
Surely there is a word out there that is appropriate to what you're trying to describe that can be used, as opposed to essentially debasing yourself to the use of these other words when they're not entirely necessary. And a lot of those words have their proper context. And they can be used within that context without them being foul. So why don't we use language appropriately?
I think that's a good point. You know, with my own, I have boys and have raised them, and they're in their teenage years now. And here recently, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, we sat down and had a conversation about language, about swearing, and their eyes got about as big as they could out of their skull, because I sat and said every cuss word that I knew and explained not only the word but its background.
Yeah, the common parlance versus the actual meaning.
You know, what does the S word mean? Okay, so when you say OS, what are you saying? You're saying oh poop. Okay, well, I mean, think about if somebody just walked around and was saying oh poop. But a better one is the F word, and people will say F you. So what you're telling somebody is to go have sex with themselves. That would not be a put down if you said it in its proper form. To say, oh, go have sex with you, that wouldn't be, if people look at you and go, what?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it is exactly. It's right. Nonsensical. You know, and you go on and on and on with all of the different bad words. And, you know, you translate those back into their original form, like you were talking about with, say, a female dog. When you translate those back into their original form, they don't have the same meaning. They don't have the same oomph, power that they do because you use the swear word, which is a no-no word. Yeah. Yeah, when we had little kids, you know, those right. were no-no words.
Right. Well, even in like historical context, Herodotus in his histories, he goes on to say, like, in ancient Persia, to be called the B word was actually a term of endearment, a high honor for a woman to be called that.
Mm.
Because in Persian culture, dogs were highly revered, even worshipped.
Mm. Interesting. I think I've heard that before.
And sometimes, for example, the word damn, you know, there is a certain gravitas associated with that word. And so when we use it to literally condemn somebody else, it's like a, I forget who it was that mentioned this, and it intuitively made sense to me. When you say, you know, damn you, it's not just that you're cussing at the person. It is God's place to condemn or not condemn. He is the judge. He is the ultimate arbiter of the condition of the human soul. So what you're doing is you're taking upon yourself the place of God and condemning someone justly or unjustly. That part is irrelevant, but you're taking on the role of God. And so you're saying, you know, I have the authority and the power to condemn, to damn someone to hell or to this or to that. It doesn't matter. The point is you're usurping God's role and when you don't need to. Okay, so you're mad at the person. We get it. That's not the issue. You know, we all get mad, but be careful about the kind of language you use because it can have further implications other than just you trying to make a point.
Good.
Well, just to continue on that, from chapter 3 in Colossians, you know, earlier in that, verse 2, it says, set your minds on what is above, not what is on the earth. This kind of goes into a previous podcast episode that we did about submitting yourself, and you know, I would say that really goes with, you know, your tongue. You know, what should you say and what you shouldn't say, and what is the standard? And I would say, you know, the Bible for us particularly would be that standard.
And if you look at the book of James, I believe it was mentioned, you know, off air, the whole idea of, you know, the tongue being seen as a rudder. You have this huge ship with a comparatively small rudder. And so kind of taking the imagery of that particular passage is, you know, you can steer your life, you can steer the lives of those around you by something as simple as how you choose to address them. Now, me looking at the person that's taking my order behind a counter and saying, yes, sir, when maybe they're a 15-year-old kid and they're not hardly old enough to be referred to as a sir, but you use that term out of a sense of just innate respect for the individual rather than deriding them because they forgot to add the fries onto your order. You know, I think that can help steer not just our lives, but the lives of those around us.
But you don't ever forget
the fries.
You hold that grudge.
That's right.
The end of time.
That's right. McDonald's French fries are the best. Maybe that could be another show. We'll do a whole other episode on
it. I ordered the combo.
Well, we, you know, we always have lots of things that are important to us, that are valuable, are, and this is one of those things. Our holiness is something that I think is important for us to hold on to. You know, I don't know what kind of background you guys come from, those who are listening, whether you're Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, whatever. Whatever your background is, I think if you gave yourself an opportunity to flip through Scripture and read through and look for the thou shalt nots, but don't see them as limitations, don't see them as laws, as bindings, but see them as freedoms, and see them as opportunities to be more Christ-like, I think you'll find that you read Scripture in a very, very different way.
That can be very freeing.
Yeah. So, you know, take some time this week to read through, maybe find, I mean, everybody, I mean, if you're listening to this, you've got some kind of computer device, you know, go out and just Google a king, I mean, just because the King James is the one that has them, King, you know, Google thou shalt not and no. Bible, you know, King James Bible, thou shalt not, something of that nature, and read through those and see what those actually are and find that you really can find some great freedom. And not only will it benefit your spiritual life, but as we talked about, it'll benefit some of your external life as well. So again, we appreciate you being with us. We want to say thanks for being part of the show. If you have an opinion on language, on freedom in Christ, on any of the stuff that we've talked about today, we would sure love to hear from you. If you'd like to be part of the show, we would love to have you submit over a recording. And
preferably don't cuss us out.
Yeah, that would be preferable. But we sure appreciate it. Hope you guys have a blessed rest of your day. Well, hey guys, you know, before we get out of here, I wanted to say one more quick thing. You know, we appreciate you listening on behalf of Caleb and David and myself. I want to say thanks for joining us every episode and wanted to mention just a couple quick things for you. Number one, did you know that if you like the episodes, did you know that you can actually sponsor our episodes? You can go to anchor.fm/Christian Guys. All one word, and you can click the support this cast, and you know, maybe it's $1, $5, $10, I don't know, maybe something, but you can go there and help us keep up the equipment and the time that it takes to get all of these put together. Hope they're a blessing to you. Also, do you know that you can be part of the show? We want to give you an opportunity to speak into the show, so if you have a question, it can be on anything. There is not a topic that we won't talk about. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask, grab your smartphone, click on the voice memo, and record your question. Shoot us an email at podcast@christianguys.org. Shoot us that email with that attachment. We'll actually drop your audio right into the show, and then we'll answer your question, and you get to be part of the show. So we would love for you to do that. Hope you're looking forward to being part of it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.